In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, according to our Lord's parable today, God has sown the good seed generously in his field, the world. He has sown grace and love, the desire for total oblation, the ideals of an apostolic, religious, saintly life. But in the midst of all this good, the enemy comes to sow evil. Why does God permit this? To sift his servants as we sift grain, that is, to test them. Sometimes we are scandalized, seeing evil working its way even into the best places, seeing that even among God's friends, among those who should be a source of edification to others, there are some who behave unworthily. And we're filled with zeal, like the servants in the parable. We want to remedy this evil, to tear it up, to root up the cockle. Wilt thou that we go and gather it up? We say to our Lord, like the servants in the parable. But God answers, no, lest perhaps, gathering up the cockle, you root up together also the wheat with it. The cockle, evil, is spared, oftentimes anyway, not because it is good, but in order to save the wheat. In order to save the wheat. In the same way, God spares the wicked and does not destroy them for the sake of the elect. When God asks us to endure with patience certain situations, as inevitable as they are deplorable, he asks for one of the greatest exercises of charity, compassion and mercy. He does not tell us to fraternize with evil, to make a league with the cockle, or to approve of it, but he tells us to endure it with the longanimity with which he himself endured it. Was there not a traitor among the apostles themselves? Yet Jesus wanted him among his intimates, and with how much love he treated him. Indeed, one of the greatest opportunities for the practice of charity is offered up for us, is offered us by those who by their evil conduct give us so many occasions of forgiving them, for returning good for evil, and for suffering injustice for the love of God. Moreover, we should consider that whereas cockle cannot be changed into wheat, it is always possible for the wicked to be converted and become good. Were not St. Mary Magdalene, the good thief, and St. Peter, who denied our Lord three times, converted? This is one of the strongest motives to incite us to do good to all. When our charity is perfect, we are able to live among the wicked without being harsh or contentious, without being influenced by them, but rather doing them good. To do good even to those who persecute us, or to those who would have persecuted us had they had the chance. This is the Christian life. This was the sentiment expressed by the virgin and martyr, St. Maria Goretti, who was murdered in 1902. Maria was assaulted by a neighboring youth named Alessandro Serenelli, when she resisted his advances. The enraged youth repeatedly stabbed her. Before dying in a hospital the following day, Maria expressed her forgiveness of Alessandro. St. John Vianney noted, the saints have no hatred, they have no bitterness, they forgive everything, and they think that they deserve much more for their offenses against God. For example, King St. Louis IX, who reigned as King of France for 35 years, was known for his mercy and impartial justice, and he even forgave members of the nobility who unsuccessfully rebelled against his rule. They tried to overthrow him, and he forgave them. The founder of the Society of Jesus, St. Ignatius of Loyola, once walked 100 miles during the winter to nurse a man who had fallen ill, and a man who, this same man, only a few weeks earlier, had stolen Ignatius's meager savings. Our Lord's parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, chapter 18, verses 23 to 35, reminds us that if we insist on strict justice in the cases of those who've sinned against us, we will also be held fully liable for our own far greater offenses against the infinite majesty of God. Because the saints were so honest in admitting their own sins, it became very easy and natural for them to forgive the offenses of others. St. Augustine notes, there are many kinds of alms, the giving of which helps us to obtain pardon for our sins, but none is greater than that by which we forgive from our heart a sin that someone has committed against us. The great bishop of Geneva, St. Francis de Sales, the principal patron of the Institute of Christ the King, was so intensely hated by a lawyer there in the city of Geneva, he even shot at the saint. He missed St. Francis, but he struck a priest who was standing with him. Accordingly, the would-be assassin was sentenced to death. But St. Francis de Sales, nevertheless, pleaded on his behalf, and the death sentence was commuted. But still, even so, the lawyer showed no gratitude, but actually spat in the face of St. Francis de Sales. The saint simply responded sadly, "I have been able to save you from human justice, but unless you change your dispositions, you will fall into the hands of divine justice, from which no power can save you." As St. Francis de Sales shows us, the fact that not everyone will accept our offer of forgiveness does not excuse us from the obligation of extending it. Forgiveness is not just from God. The power to forgive is given to us as well, and even required of us. God himself has said so. Our Lord gave the apostles, the power to forgive sins, saying, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed also in heaven." He tells us always to forgive, not 7 times, but I tell you 77 times. That is, always. Human forgiveness is central to the Lord's Prayer. In fact, our being forgiven by God is said to be conditioned by our forgiving our neighbor. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.